All right, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of James, chapter 3, please. The book of James and chapter 3. And I want to start here. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament in just a moment. But I want to start right here in James chapter 3. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the characteristics of a wise man. I think if there's one thing all of us need here at this day and with what's going on here, we need to have the mind of God. We need to have God's wisdom to know how to trust and how to have faith and how to not live in fear during this time. God has not given us the spirit of fear, the Apostle Paul said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind is very important. This is what all of us who know the Lord need to have. A sound mind. And I'm going to speak to you about how wisdom plays a part in having that sound mind. Now, let's begin reading, please, in verse 13. Now, let me just say this before I get started, because I want you to consider this. If you go back to verse 5, you will see here that the context in which James is sharing this information about wisdom, the context is regarding the matter of the tongue. And by the tongue, it's not talking just about that thing that's in your mouth, but it's how you use that thing that's in your mouth. It's your manner of life. It is your way of life. And even so, the tongue, speaking of that way we communicate. But James says it is a small thing, is a little thing, but it boasteth great things. And we all then can understand what James is referring to. He said, "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." All right, so verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You know, folks, we can burn someone down to the ground with our tongues. We can, through words, say things that will just absolutely knock the breath out of a person, knock them down, be so cruel and be so evil with the things that we say to others. And so realize that what I'm about to read you in verse 13 and following is in regard to the matter of the tongue. And if you look at verse 13, James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings," now this is where this is how it ties into the tongue. See, if you've got bitterness towards somebody, you'll use your tongue and just rip the hide off of them every chance you get. So he says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, notice this now, this kind of wisdom, if you will, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish." Now, those are pretty harsh words, wouldn't you say? James is just putting it right down where everybody can see it and everybody can grasp it and understand it. This wisdom, This wisdom is not from above. It's not from God. It's not from heaven, but instead is earthly. Now, if you will just stop and think about it for a moment, everything on this earth, including the earth itself, but also man and woman, but everything on this planet has a curse upon it. It's the curse of sin. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 3. And James says that this wisdom that gives you the comeback, that gives you the words that you think are so, boy, you know, I put him in his place. Boy, I really let her have it. You know, that wisdom that gives you the smart comeback and that gives you the words that will enable you just to tear someone's face off. Well, that wisdom, James says, is not from God. You didn't get that from the Lord. No, you got that from the curse. From the it's earthly. It's cursed. It's sensual. It's devilish. Actually, demonic. I went in, got here a little bit early, and went in and checked some of these words just to make sure that I had an accurate understanding of them. And that word devilish is really, it's demonic. It's devilish. It's not of God. It's devilish. And verse 16, he said, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." But, now notice the contrast here, but the wisdom that is from above, and folks, that's the wisdom that you and I need. That's the wisdom that every child of God should strive for. The wisdom that is from God, from above. And James says that this wisdom is first pure, and then it's peaceable. And then it's gentle. Now contrast that with verse 13 and 14. Contrast that with verse 14. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife, well, that's the world's wisdom. But if you have wisdom that is from above, then you're going to know how to live peaceably and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, the world often calls a great many people wise, but in reality, they are far from wise on the things that really matter. You see, there are two kinds of wisdom in this world. There is the worldly wisdom that James deals with here in verse 13 and 14 and 15. And then there is the wisdom from above. So in other words, there is a wisdom that comes from the cursed world that we live in, and there is a wisdom that comes from heaven, that comes from God, and so we need to stop and think about now, which wisdom would we rather have? Would you rather have the wisdom of this world that can enable you to be a hateful person, or to be a sarcastic smart aleck, or to be able to figure out how to get by with sin and with the wrong things? Or would you rather have that wisdom that comes from God that enables you to get along and to love others and to trust the Lord and to know what is the will of God for your life in all things? All right, so there's a great contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom which comes from God. Now, just look back, turn the page back to the first chapter of James, and let me read you another verse in verse 5. James says in chapter 1, verse 5, and by the way, don't forget, James was a half-brother to the Lord Jesus. James was the son of Joseph and Mary, all right? So he was a half-brother, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, now let's just be honest, let's just all say, that's me, all right? Let's just all lift our hand right now and say, that's me. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. By the way, that him means her too. Let him or her ask of God that giveth to all men and women liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, here is a wonderful thing about God's wisdom. Here is a wonderful thing about that wisdom that is from above. Now, you can learn the worldly wisdom by just looking at the world. All right, you learn the worldly wisdom through watching the world on TV, through reading about the world, through all the other mediums that are available for the world to express itself and to display itself. But notice in verse 5 that the wisdom that comes from the Lord it can also be acquired. And the way it's acquired, according to James 1:5, is for us to simply ask the Lord to give us wisdom so that we are able to view things and see things with heavenly wisdom. And the really wonderful thing, now just keep looking at this verse for a moment. The wonderful thing about this wisdom is that when we ask the Lord for it, the Lord gives us that wisdom and he gives it to us liberally. Now that's the only time that I can think of that I like liberalism right there. I like that part. I like that promise. And the Lord says that if you ask, he will give you his wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. Now, that is such a wonderful promise. This promise means that the Lord will just pour out his wisdom upon us. Man, what a great promise that is. I think it would be a wonderful thing if all of our children, if all of our teenagers, and of course the adults in our church, regardless of your age, it would just be an absolute wonderful thing if everybody in the Church of the Open Door were to make it a part of your daily prayer routine, your daily prayer life, to ask the Lord for wisdom. And if you ask, James says, the Lord will give it to you. Young people, imagine how far ahead in life you would be if when you were 8 and 9 and 10 or 5 and 6 and 7. I mean, just think about it. If you were 14 or 15 or 16 and you were to pray daily and ask God for wisdom, just think about how much of a jump you would have on life if you were to do that. Because the promise is, if you ask, the Lord will give you wisdom. And not only give it to you, but he will give it to you liberally. And then notice in this verse, James tells us that the Lord will not upbraid you. Now, we don't normally use that word today. I don't know that I've ever used it in regular conversation, but the word upbraid means like to scold, all right, to fuss at, begrudge someone. So James says that if you ask the Lord for wisdom, he will give it to you, and then he will not scold you for asking. Now, let me illustrate that. I wonder how many of you fellas have sat in your recliner, in your chair, and you maybe watching a game or playing on your phone or something, and you were sitting there, and you waited and you waited and you waited until one of your kids or your wife got up and headed towards the kitchen. And when they got past you, almost in the kitchen, you said, "Oh, would you bring me some iced tea?" And so your child or your wife, especially your wife, will turn around and look at you and say, "How long have you been sitting there just waiting for me to get up so you could ask me to get you something?" And you just smile and say, "Well, you're up. How about just get me an iced tea while you're up?" And so she gets it for you, but the whole time she's getting it for you, she is mumbling under her breath, "You lazy, sorry thing. Why don't you get up and get it yourself? You've been sitting in that chair all day long. You sat there for an hour just waiting on me to get up so you could have me bring it to you." So in other words, she gave it to you, but you were upbraided, scolded for asking. And the good news is, James says, you can ask God for wisdom as often as you want to ask, and God will never scold you or upbraid you for asking. All right, so that's the foundation that I want to lay for the message that I want to give you this morning. All right, so now take your Bible and go back to the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to notice in chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to read you just one verse, Proverbs 1:5. Proverbs 1:5. All right, let me read this verse to you. It says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Now, going back to this book of Proverbs written by King Solomon, and we all know that Solomon was one of the wisest men of his day, probably wisest men ever besides the Lord Jesus. And he says in this fifth verse, he gives us some features, some characteristics about a wise man. And I want us to look at these characteristics this morning. And there are three things that I want us to see from this fifth verse. Now look carefully at the verse. I want you to notice first, Solomon says that a wise man is one who listens. A wise man is one who listens. Look at the first phrase in that verse. It says, "A wise man will hear." Now, folks, don't strain this word too much. You say, "Well, you're interpreting to the deaf folks." Yes, we are. But you can hear with more than just your ears. You can hear with all your senses. It doesn't mean necessarily to hear auditorily. It means that you grasp, that you get, And you can, like a blind person can hear by touch. A deaf person can hear by sign language. And on it goes. So we all have the capability to hear through our five senses. All right? We can know what is going on around us through our five senses. Now, I have an acute sense of smell. My wife has no sense of smell. I'll say, oh, smell that. She'll go, I can't smell that. But nonetheless, you can tell whether something is good or whether it's bad just by smelling it. So you know wisdom. Folks, here's the point. Wisdom begins with the ear. It begins with hearing. And you can hear with anything, any of your senses. So the point is, listen carefully now, a wise man will listen more than talk. A wise man will listen more than talk. And yet, most people use their mouths a great deal more than they use their ears. And I'm sure you've heard of that old adage that we have two ears and only one mouth, and so we ought to do twice as much listening as we do talking. And of course, we need to be careful, and I think that's what James was saying, and I think that's also what Solomon is saying here, but we need to be careful what we listen to. There are so many folks who listen very carefully, but they are often listening to the wrong things. We should strive to listen to that which pertains to the truth, and specifically to God's truth. A lot of folks listen to things which are worldly wisdom, as James described. Not godly wisdom. And I think we should be very cautious about what we listen to. That's why we ought to be careful about listening to gossip. That's why we ought to be careful about listening to the world's wisdom. Someone comes and tells some old smutty joke. Well, that is the world's wisdom. You certainly did not get that joke. Whoever started it did not get that joke from above. No, that joke came from the devil. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And so our goal should be to listen to the right things. And listening to the wrong things just does a world of damage to you. You may not see it right now, but what you listen to is eventually what you become. And so while we are confined to home, some folks have told me that they're making up for not being able to come to church by watching some of these television preachers doing during the day. And I don't have a handkerchief, but if I did, I would wave it and say, wait a minute here. Don't do that. Don't do that stuff. Church, listen, please realize that not everything that glitters is gold. And most of you guys and gals or most of these guys and gals on TV are nothing more than wolves in sheep's clothing. And they are consciously taking people on a journey through the land of doctrinal confusion, and you can get drawn into their web of deceit so quickly before you even realize what has hit you. That's world's wisdom. False doctrine does not come from God. False doctrine comes from the world's wisdom. So notice that wisdom begins with the ear. I think I told you folks that years ago when I pastored down in Dixie, West Virginia, we went to this little park. It had a bunch of rides, like a little permanent fair that is down in Huntington, West Virginia, called Camden Park. And our children were just little, just small, and it was the place where Karen's dad worked. Had a day where you could all get in the park for free. They shut the park down, and so we took the kids down. And I remember toward the end of the day, we had about an hour and a half drive home, and I remember saying, oh, I'm starving. I'm going to stop right here and get a piece of pizza. So I stopped, and I got pizza and something to drink, and then we went on to the car. And basically, I just, wolfed that down. I was so hungry, and I wolfed that piece of pizza down like it was nothing. And then about midnight, that pizza decided that it didn't want to stay in my stomach anymore. And I got so sick, threw up, was miserable, had a headache. I mean, I don't know what it was. But anyway, the next morning, I called my brother early, and I asked him if he could preach because I had been up all night sick. And he said that he would do it. So I sat there on the couch and turned on the TV. And there was this good-looking fellow on there dressed in a suit and tie and just as interesting as he could be. And I'm sitting there going, yes, yes. Wow, listen, who is this guy? Listen to this. Wow, that's great. And then all of a sudden, here came one line. And that one line raised the flags all over the place. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And just right after he said that one line that just destroyed all the good stuff that he had said previously, and in about an 8-minute section, I mean, for about 8 minutes, he went on, and then one line just literally destroyed it all. And then right underneath the heading, it said, you are listening to Herbert W. Armstrong. Now, folks, Herbert W. Armstrong was false doctrine. That was false teaching in so many areas. And that's how they do it. They lure you in with the truth and get you listening, and then all of a sudden, here comes the junk, and you're already with them because you're hearing good stuff, but then they bring in the false doctrine and hit you with it. But so many times you're already in the snare, so to speak. And so we need to hear the right message. We need to hear. A wise man will hear. Yes, but that wise man must hear the right message. Folks, if you only listen to the secular world, you will think that spiritual things are not of any value. A good example of that is just this week, the MyPillow guy from Minnesota, the MyPillow guy or Wisconsin, wherever he's from, Trump allowed him to speak and talk about how he had converted one of his factories into a place that makes the masks for people to wear over their faces. And when he got down to the end of his 2 or 3 minutes, a little ditty, he said, let me encourage you during this time to stay in and use this time to get close to your family. Let me encourage you to use this time to read the Word of God. Well, mercy, you would have thought that he walked over and slapped the president across the face. You would have thought that he kicked him in the shins as he went back to his place where he was standing. I mean, the press, well, not all the press, but, the Communist News Network at CNN and then MSDNC, they went nuts and criticized, and several other fake news outlets. You would have thought that that this was just the worst thing that that man could have said. But listen, a wise man will not only listen, but a wise man will listen to the truth, divine truth. Remember, folks, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, again, King David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because I love thy law. Let me challenge you, Christian. Let me challenge you to live, listen to God, to listen to the truth. The Lord Jesus said that truth will set you free. So you say, well, Pastor, where do I find truth? Well, again, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And that's why it is so important for you to read your Bible daily. It is important as the people of God to hear the truth of the word of God and then stay in the word of God daily so you can just continue learning that truth. How many times in the course of a week do we say, well, I heard someone say? The point is, we're always listening to the things around us. How many times have we said, well, I read, you're hearing something. You're using your eyes to do it, but you're hearing something. But the wise man is the man who hears, but he is the one who hears the right things. Secondly, I want you to notice, look at the verse, and will increase learning. I want to say secondly to you that Solomon says a wise man is one who is learning. Oh, it's important that this part of the verse. You can see a wise man is one who is increasing his or her learning. Folks, we get knowledge from learning, but we get wisdom, which is the ability to apply that knowledge in life. We get that from God. A wise man seeks to increase knowledge. I got to know Dr. Tom Malone pretty well before he passed away. He pastored the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, and without a doubt was one of the great men of God of the last century. And Tom Malone and I preached together in several conferences across the country. And the first one of the first conferences that we were together was down in West Virginia on the top of a mountain in October in a tent. Oh, it was bone cold. And Dr. Malone was in his 70s at the time. And while we were singing at the beginning of the service, he leaned over into me and I put my arm around him. And he said, Brother Nyers, he was from Alabama and always talked with a real Southern accent. Brother Nyers. And I said, what, Doc? He said, I can't feel my toes. That's how cold it was. And I felt so sorry for him. I told that preacher, if Dr. Malone gets a cold and dies, I'm going to tell everybody in the country it's your fault. But anyway, I got to know him pretty well. And in one of the first meetings that we had together, I said to him, what you been doing? What you been up to now that you've retired from the church? And he said, well, I just recently earned my master's degree in education from Wayne State University. I said, what? He said, I earned a master's degree in education from Wayne State University. And bless his heart, listen, he was in his late 70s when he did that. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's just amazing. The man was in his late 70s, yet he wanted to continue learning. And I think it's a wonderful thing to always keep learning. Too many people today will graduate from high school or they'll graduate from four-year college and then think to themselves, okay, that's over with, and now I never have to study again. Oh, listen, you should never have that attitude. The reason that we call your graduation commencement is because your graduation is just the commencing, the beginning of a lifetime of learning for you. So let me just pause right here and again challenge our young people to learn and to study and to increase learning. Increase learning. That's what Solomon said. You should learn now while you're in junior high school and elementary school and high school. You should learn how to study now while you are young. You should strive to study and learn so you can grasp the Word of God and learn its truths. Too many people today stay in a state of ignorance simply because they don't study the Word of God. Far too many folks are getting their wisdom from the world and not from the Lord. They're quick to learn the world's wisdom, but they don't take the time to learn the wisdom that comes from above. And the way you learn that wisdom, as we have already seen, is to ask the Lord for it, and then you read and study the Word of God. But you want to study the right thing, folks. Study the right thing, and the right thing is this book that I hold in my hand. I guess what I am saying is that that far too many people, they study what the world has to say, and they increase learning of the world's wisdom. There's far too many Christians that do this. I mean, a lot of Christians do this. They don't increase their learning. They increase their learning of the world's wisdom, but not of God's wisdom. And you know, sadly, this attitude often shows up in our churches. It certainly does. Aren't you amazed at these folks who know everything? Aren't you impressed with these people who know everything? You say, well, how do you know they know everything? Because they tell us they know everything. They tell us on social media just how brilliant they are and how it ought to be done. I mean, they are, at least in their own minds, the most brilliant people on the planet. And they go on social media and they comment and they criticize everything that goes on in the church. I mean, you know, if these people are so full of wisdom and knowledge, and if they are so intellectually superior to the rest of us, they know how to do it, but we're a bunch of idiots. We don't know how to do it. And so they get on social media and tell us how it ought to be done. Well, don't you think those folks ought to go get their own church? And so then they can be the model and show all of us idiots who are trying our best to serve the Lord just exactly how to do it. And I'm sure that every preacher in America could benefit from the increased learning that these geniuses possess. Well, that was free. It didn't cost you anything. Number three, Solomon says, a wise man is one who is led. Now look at the last part of this verse. He shall attain unto wise counsels. In other words, Solomon said, a wise man is one who is led. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A man of understanding, that's a wise man, folks. That's a wise man. I checked the word wise counsels at the end of this verse. And one of the commentators that I read after often and is very, very, I've rarely ever found that him not to be accurate. And if I have ever found him not to be accurate, but and now think of it, I don't think I've ever found him not to be accurate. But he said that this term was a nautical term. that it is from the world of boating and sailing, the Navy and all that stuff. The term refers to someone directing or managing a ship on the right course. All right, so notice that. He says, wise counsel, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And that wise counsels is a term that refers to someone who is directing or managing a ship on the right course. You see, it would take someone a long time to successfully learn how to navigate a ship across the oceans. You know, if you were to take me down to Richmond, Virginia, if you were to take me down to the Naval Yard down there, put me on a ship, or take me down here to Ocean City or Baltimore and put me on one of those cruise ships and put me up in the helm and say, all right, now get this thing over to Europe. Get this over to the Mediterranean. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to do that. There's no way. I wouldn't know how to do that. I mean, you would just have to know so much. You would have to have learned so much to be able to cross the oceans. You would have to know so much just instinctively. The ocean floors are filled with ships that didn't make it because of some unexpected hazard or some unexpected situation that arose. And Solomon says a wise counsel would know all of these pitfalls and hazards that are out there. And sadly, many lives are like shipwrecks in the storms of life. And folks, what we're facing right now is for sure a storm of life. And sadly, many folks, they've been shipwrecked. They've not made it on the journey. They have not taken the time to stop and to learn, to increase knowledge, so that when some unforeseen hazard is out there, they find themselves in a disastrous situation. You see, folks, a Christian needs to listen to wise counsels. And that wise counsel comes to us through the Word of God. If we are in the book, we are learning the mind of God. I've gone out deep sea fishing many times through the years. I love to do that. And every time I have gone out, when I get on that boat, and especially when we get out and I look around and I see nothing but horizon, no matter where I am, no land, can't see any land. You get 60 miles out into the Gulf Stream and you look around, you see nothing. It's just water everywhere. Well, my mind starts to work when that happens. I haven't got to fish yet. I'm still waiting for us to get out, but I look around and man, I see, we're just out in the middle of nowhere. And my mind starts to work. And I ask, if this boat began to sink, what would I do? I mean, the thought of bobbing up and down in the ocean in a life jacket and being viewed by several species of aquatic life below me as dinner, that's almost kept me from going out sometimes. But Christian, listen. You see, you so many of us, I don't have a knowledge about sailing. I don't know anything about driving that boat. I know very little about how to survive in open seas. I have no experience in any of that. I wouldn't have any idea if that boat were to sink and I were to be out there, I would have no idea which way the shore is, which way land is. And that this is exactly how a lot of believers are with life. If I were faced with an emergency, I'm afraid I would not have the knowledge about what to do if I was stranded out in the middle of the ocean. And sadly, there are many Christians who are going through life and they have no idea what to do when life's storms come upon them. They simply flail around, just drifting with the current. They have no idea where to turn. But the person who listens to wisdom will have a successful voyage in life. And wisdom involves both the written word and the living word, the Lord Jesus. Having a relationship through salvation with the Lord Jesus, and then reading the word and learning the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 30, Paul said that the Lord Jesus is our wisdom, and he will impart that wisdom to us, and he will lead us along in the right paths. Listen to me, Christian. It will help us so much during this time if we will look to the Lord and let the Lord give us wisdom on how to make it through this trial. If you want to sail on the seas of life, and if you want to safely make it to your destination, even in spite of the storm, even in spite of the reefs, even in spite of the icebergs, whatever hazards you may encounter, if you look to the one who gives you wisdom, that wisdom will guide you through. So ask the Lord for it, folks. That's my point this morning. Ask the Lord for it. Ask the Lord to give you his mind, his wisdom, so that you can safely sail through life's sea. I hope this helps you this morning. I trust you'll give some thought to these words. Proverbs 1:5 over and over. Think about what Solomon is saying. Go back and read James chapter 3 and look at what James is telling us there about the two kinds of wisdom. And then ask yourself, which of those two wisdoms do you possess the most? Do you have God's wisdom, that wisdom that comes from above? Or are you always thinking in the world's wisdom? That's something to consider, don't you think? May God help us to get the right kind of wisdom. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now so much for the challenge from the Word of God. And we're thankful that we have the ability to read the Word of God and to learn your mind. And Father, we realize that we need that wisdom that comes from above. It is so sad that so many of God's people have more worldly wisdom than they do the wisdom from above. And so Father, help us this morning to get a heart that wants to learn that wisdom that is from above, to know what is your mind and your heart. So Father, guide and direct. We pray that you will again put a hedge around our people, and just pray that you will keep the Church of the Open Door free from this virus. And Father, bless once again those on the front lines, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.